Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and I welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where our spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. We've been talking about this on yesterday's class about growth. And God's will and plan for all of us is not to lose ground and not to stagnate and just stay where you are. We're supposed to be growing. We're supposed to be developing every day. And if you, I've heard people say sometimes, you know, it just seems like there's more, you know. You know why it seems that way? Because it is. There is more. There's so much more God wants us to find out. He wants us to hear, to learn, to put into practice and develop. And that will affect an overall growth process. Do you want to grow up, child
yes.
of God? Then pray it with me. Say, Father God.
Father God.
Work in me. To will and to do. Of all your good pleasure. You do perfect that which concerns me.
Make me perfect
in every good work
to accomplish your will.
Thank you
for enabling me
to grow up
and mature
in Christ likeness. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It is His will. We've been on the series we're calling Faith for Provision for a number of weeks now. And we are giving one by one 30 reasons why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And we're down to reason number 27 in our study. So we've covered 26 reasons before this. If you haven't been with us, go online to faithschool.org and all the previous lessons are there. There's no charge. There's no commitment required, no cost. And it will help you to feed your faith on these previous things because we're building one on another. If you look again in Matthew 16, we're looking at our 27th reason why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Jesus, in Matthew 16:13, He had asked the disciples who people were saying that He was. And the next verse, they said, well, some say this and some say that, that you're this prophet or that prophet or the other. He said, yeah, but who do you say I am? And Peter just spoke right out and he said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, this was considered blasphemy by the religious leaders of the day. But Jesus looked at him and said, you are blessed, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. There is the realm of seen things and the realm of the unseen. And when he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, that means he didn't get this through his own personal study or through somebody else telling him about it or explaining it to him. He got it from the unseen realm. He got it direct from the source. Hallelujah. Spiritually. Well, somebody said, yeah, but you know, he's one of the apostles. And if you read the whole account, you find out he was human too.
Right?
Right? He made mistakes, didn't know everything. But no, the scripture tells us that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that the Spirit of God causes us to know that we are the children of God, that we have an unction or anointing of the Holy One, and we know all the things that we need to know. It's by a knowing, and that's not a reasoning. You didn't figure it out. Somebody else didn't tell you about it or explain it to you. You got it direct from the source. This is available to every Christian. Every child of God should be getting things direct from the Holy Spirit, direct from the Father, direct from heaven, if you will. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say to you, you are Peter, a rock, and upon this rock, the rock of the Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is our 27th reason in our study, and that is that we're persuaded, we're sure abundant provisions, always God's will for us all, because of the Lord building His church. Does He want us to have provision for that? Yes. We saw, and if you want to look again in 1 Peter, our 26th reason in our study, and you know, if you look at the continuity of some of these reasons, you don't say, well, man, look, Brother Keith is smart. Look how he made one thing go with the other. I probably found out about it when you did. The Lord's leading us. He's helping us. He's answering our prayers. And there's numerous times the Lord will do with me, no, don't put that one there. Put it here. No, there's another one you hadn't thought about that goes here. And that's what we're talking about. That's not figuring something out. That's not being naturally smart. That's getting something. Hallelujah. From the unseen. And that's available to all of us. But we, in our previous point, we were talking about looking at the Great Commission. That we know God wants us to have abundant provision because it's going to take, and it is taking, giant resources to fulfill this global directive of preaching the gospel to everybody on the planet. That's what all the church is supposed to be involved in. But now what we're talking about now is building the church. Once people have heard the gospel, received the gospel, been born again, is that the end? No, that's not the end. What comes next? We saw it here in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the first chapter, he was talking about verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God that lives and abides forever. Verse 25, he said, the word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. That is fulfilling the Great Commission. Going, preaching, people hearing, people believing, and the Lord confirming His word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And people being gloriously born again, yes. Which is not a healing, it's a new creation. Yes. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He said, this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes. What newborn babes? The ones that got born again, he just talked about, right? In verse 23, by the incorruptible seed. The ones in verse 25 that had heard the gospel preached to them, they are then newborn babes. We saw in John 21, when Jesus had raised from the dead, and Peter was there and even ate a meal with him. And then after the meal, Jesus said, Peter, come here. And he said, do you love me? And he said, yes. He said, feed my lambs. Then he asked him again, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord. He said, feed my sheep. Well, see, can you see a development right there from lambs to sheep? Yes. Well, at that point at the church, everybody was a lamb. Mm-hmm. Right? Everybody had just been born again. You couldn't be born again until Jesus had raised from the dead. And that you could believe it and confess that and confess Him as Lord. And so everybody they're going to be preaching to are babies. But if they are fed, which is what you're seeing right here, they're going to grow up. So that they're no longer lambs, they're adults, the sheep. They're no longer babies, they're maturing ones. He said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may what?
Grow.
Grow thereby. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to build my church. Does that sound like growth?
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of talk about church growth.
Yes, there is.
Right? And it should be something that we are very interested in. But what do you mean when you say church growth? A lot of times people are only talking about getting more people in the building, getting more people to attend the services. Well, it actually depends on why they're coming and what they're hearing and what's going on. There are actually groups of people coming together and meeting that have not yet been born again.
Yes.
So they're not developing spiritually. They hadn't even started. Mm-hmm. Now, I know this is true. I've met people personally. I know when I taught at the Bible school years ago, there was a couple that were in their 70s, and they had been in ministry in the denomination for, 30 years or something, and they had then retired. And after retirement, somebody invited them to a Bible study at somebody's house, and they went and got born again.
Wow.
Oh, wow. And so then they thought, what have we been doing, you know? And so then they came to the Bible school that I was a part of in their 70s to get training to now go begin to have some real fruit after they had had an entire, profession. Well, what were they teaching? What were they? They were coming together, but what? See, people talk about politics. They talk about social reform. They talk about doing good. But is that growing up spiritually? No, it's not. First of all, you got to be born again.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
You got to hear the gospel.
Amen.
And there's only one gospel.
Amen.
The gospel. And once you've heard the gospel and once you are born again, now what do you need? According to Peter, you need the sincere milk of the word of God that you may grow thereby. Now notice, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Well, by grace you are saved. So when you're born again, you had a big taste of the Lord, and you know He is good. And you know what else that happens then? You want more. Is that right? You want more, which is what He says. So you need more. You need to get the sincere milk of the Word so you can grow. If so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Mm-hmm. Now see why we're reading this again. On this rock, mm-hmm. I'm going to build my church. A living stone or a living rock, disallowed indeed of men. Wasn't Jesus rejected of men?
Yes.
But chosen of God, mm-hmm. and precious. You also, as lively stones, or that could be translated living stones, are built up a spiritual house. He said, you are Peter. You're a rock. You're a stone. But on this stone, I'll build my church. Well, what's he building the church? The church is depicted graphically here as a stone house, a stone structure that is built on the big stone. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Christ. And then there's the foundation that He brought of the apostles and prophets, the doctrines of the church, all on the main foundation of Him and the gospel. But then, when you were born again, the Holy Spirit found a living stone.
Yeah.
And He put the seal of the Holy Spirit, and He put you in the wall.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And this structure is living rocks. Living stones. Hallelujah. And every time, we see lost people, we ought to think, building materials.
Yes.
Right? Building, man, we could build a whole wall out of this. Is that right? Out of this bunch. And so as they are born again, and they are, like Ephesians says, sealed by the Holy Spirit in the place. We are baptized. That means immersed or placed into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. That is the spiritual part, and by far vastly most important part. But once you've said that, okay, the church, we got a bunch of folks that are joined in God and then also joined together. He also depicts the church as a body, how that some parts are joined directly to other parts and then not directly to others. So there are groups of believers that are joined to Christ, but then also joined to each other. Do they need to be fed?
Yes.
Do they need to grow? Do they need to develop? Might they need a place?
Yes.
Where are they going to do this? How are they going to do this? Would there be any natural resources needed?
Yes.
Required? Well, you know there is. He said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You as living stones are built up a spiritual house. This is one of the definitions of the church. The church is a habitation of God, a spiritual house. He said a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, to Jesus Christ. We know some of these spiritual sacrifices are, for instance, prayer and praise and thanksgiving and worship and offerings. How are we going to do this together? We'll need a place, right? We need places to come. That means you need resources. You need money for properties, for land, for buildings, for development. And here's the thing. The church, the house, is not the church. But the church needs a house.
Yes.
Can you see what I mean by that? So when you have a facility, even if it's a cathedral, and it's beautiful, and you come into it and you say, well, we're glad to be here in the house of God. Actually, you are the house of God. Huh? The house of God is in the building. The building's not the house of God. The building is temporary. There'll come a time when it's no more. But when that time comes and goes, you and I will still be living stones.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In the eternal habitation of God. He goes on to say, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We can't offer corporate prayer by ourselves at our house. Huh? You can't offer the spiritual sacrifice of 1,000 voices giving thanks in corporate praise and worship with me at my house and you at yours. Huh? Can't do that. And even when it comes to offerings, to be of one mind and one heart and one accord, like we read about the Great Commission, he told the church, bring them on their way. Well, where did the church hear about it? And how did they get in agreement about giving to it? Can you see, God intends that there be some togetherness and some meeting together. Now that's a quote from a scripture in Hebrews. Meeting together. Now, keep reading this. He said, spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. That is the rock.
Yes.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
that the church is built on. Not Peter. I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believes on him shall not be confounded. So certainly this wouldn't be believing on Peter.
Right.
And Peter would be the first one to tell you this. He would say, oh no, Jesus. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone. So you see, he's still talking about the stone, the rock, which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word. Well, Jesus is the rock. He is also the word, right? He is the word made flesh, and he is the precious cornerstone that everything is attached to and built on. He said, you, verse 9, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar, and that means rare, people, treasure, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that's one of the things we're supposed to do when we come together as the church and offer up spiritual sacrifices. Would it be okay if in the sweltering summers in Florida we had some air conditioning when we praised the Lord, so that when we raised our hands we don't knock out our neighbor with body odor? Huh? Would it be okay to have nice good floors and floored and carpeted spaces and nice things, so that it's not dirty and it's not musty and it's not any of this, and places that people would feel good about inviting their neighbors and their co-workers and say, come to our place? And even when they go in the bathrooms, they go, man, this is nice. Look, this is clean. And this is some nice soap here on the counter. And is it God's will that people come in and hear the gospel? Yes, but then also keep coming back and grow and develop. Hallelujah. The sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Somebody say yes and amen.
Yes, amen.
I believe it.
I believe it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go to Acts 28 first. The Lord has always provided his people with the natural means. And any time and every time that they need anything, materially, financially, it's just no problem for him. It's easy for him. He created it all to start with. And he can move massive amounts of things and money without making a phone call.
Yes.
He has the ability if we'll believe him and trust him. But sadly what has happened is a lot of people have heard wrong thoughts and wrong teaching and wrong preaching. And they come to a place where in order to go further and do more, they need more resources. And they say, yeah, but, you know, maybe it's not God's will. You know, maybe I'm getting too big in my thinking. And God likes, you know, he likes minimalism. And people come up with all kind of nutty ideas that they didn't get from the Bible. And so they back off. And that's the enemy. Who's trying to get you to reduce reaching people?
Yeah.
Huh? Reduce helping people. That wouldn't be God. That's not God. And we see that it doesn't matter what your circumstances are, where you are geographically. Go to Acts 28, if you would. What your employment status is, if you'll obey God, he has ways of taking care of you that are just wonderful. And even on high levels, that's a good witness that draws people. Now, say what you will, but, we talked about this a couple of classes ago about some of our first TV gear was low definition, and so we were fuzzy, you know. And one of our partners said that Keith had been delivered from fuzziness when we got the HD. Nowadays, if people are scanning channels and they see a low resolution picture, They may not even watch it for, right? If you say, oh, you know, that's a low quality thing, not waiting to see what kind of content might actually be there. Appearances matter. They matter especially to unbelievers and folks outside the church that we might be trying to get interested to come in and check us out. And so, for instance, in the book of Acts, when Paul had been on the ship and as a prisoner, and then in the shipwreck, and then delivered of the snake bite and all that, and you know, after the shipwreck and the snake bite, they had a healing revival on the island and got people saved and got people healed and just backhanded the devil. Pow! He's like, you mess with us and we'll get this island to Jesus. And so then when he finally got to where he was going, he called the elders together and he spoke to them. And verse 28, he said, this is end of the chapter, end of the book, Acts 28:28. Be it known to you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and they'll hear it. And when he said these things, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came into him. It was big enough for him to receive groups and teach and preach to them, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So here he's a prisoner waiting on his court date. God got him enough money and substance, he rents out a whole place, a villa. He's got groups coming in every other day that he's ministering to and teaching. Is he fulfilling the Great Commission?
Yes.
And any babies that are there, he'd be teaching them and ministers, helping them to grow up. Did he need a place to do it?
Yes.
And even when he's a prisoner, that can hamper your financial flow. Even when he's a prisoner, he's got an entire hired house. He's got the natural house to help build the Lord's house.
Yes.
Can you see this?
Yes.
2 years, no lack of any good thing. Except we're lacking time right now. We're out of time. So come back tomorrow. There's a lot more to see about God's gracious provision.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.